You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You've probably heard about the more than 40,000 people in Michigan who were wrongly accused of fraud regarding unemployment benefits. The legislature is considering laws to try to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. And the governor and the legislature are trying to figure out how to do something beyond just restitution. I mean, some of these people went bankrupt, lost their homes, so on. The question is, how far can or should the state go to make those people whole? Joining us to discuss that are Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us via Skype. And Darcy McConnell, a former longtime journalist and current president and CEO of McConnell Communications, which operates as a communications strategist for state Democratic causes and clients. Ken, what obligation does the state have in helping to restore these people who were harmed by the state government?
I personally think it has a serious obligation to do that. I think there's a fundamental issue at stake here, and that is when government itself, which, you know, is a representative of the people, directly harm people, and in this case, penalize citizens for something they didn't do, I think government has an obligation to do whatever it can to try to make these people whole again. And it's probably not going to be possible for some people. I do think some people will never get fully compensated, and there are some thorny issues how you do all this. But the fundamental issue here is government has, in this case, an obligation to do whatever it can to make these people whole that are not fairly penalized.
Darcy, what do you think the state should do when it considers going beyond simple restitution to those people the state wrongly accused of unemployment benefits fraud?
I think Ken nailed it, that you can go further than that. I mean, let's just start with the federal government does an inquiry, for example, and then it turns out that someone's name comes up and they did nothing wrong. They can give them a clearance letter. So maybe just start with something as simple as a letter that says these folks are in the clear beyond the monetary restitution, because that's what's really happened here, the domino effect that's impacted their lives, their credit, their everything. And so if you just start with something that lets people know that, hey, this was really on us, and so please don't penalize this individual or these individuals for something that we erred on, it's at least a starting point beyond the monetary restitution.
Let's turn to something that the legislature was looking at last year but didn't get around to. For years now, the state of Michigan has been wrestling with gun regulations, including proposals to allow conceal and carry in what have been weapon-free zones such as schools. Proposals are being worked through the legislature, and there are cases involving guns in schools in the courts. Ken, what's the legislature likely to do, and what do you expect from the courts?
Well, the issue, as you pointed out, is the issue of the right to carry a concealed weapon for which you have a permit in current no-carry zones like daycare centers, churches, stadiums, schools, hospitals, bars, casinos. I mean, that's the ongoing issue. And the political dynamic, though, is that the governor historically has said, I want a local op-out on this. I want local units of government to be able to make the final decision, which Republicans in the legislature have resisted. And I think something could likely happen in this session. It might be lame duck, but they're going to have to work out that kind of political dance.
And what about the courts? Because there's a case right now involving the Ann Arbor schools who don't want guns in the schools. And a gentleman says, hey, you're violating my rights.
I think that gets worked out if the governor and the majority leader, Arlen Meekhoff, can work out this opt-out, local opt-out situation. I think that's an example of what the governor is saying. He wants some kind of local opt-out for this. And how extensive it is probably going to be subject to some political negotiation here.
Darcy, what do you expect to happen this year regarding gun regulations in Michigan?
Well, I think Ken talked about it, at least in terms of the governor has not been supportive of it. He hasn't been supportive of having it in schools, if I understood it correctly, in addition to the local control. But I wish they would make up their mind, frankly. Do they want local control or not local control? Because it depends which way the wind blows when you look at things like minimum wage or whether you can even have plastic bags banned and those kind of things. So
when you say they, do you mean the legislature or do you mean Republicans in the legislature?
Let me be clear. Republicans in the legislature who for years have always advocated for local control, in the last several years have gone the opposite direction on things like minimum wage laws and other development laws. So just be nice if they could make up their mind and be consistent.
It's an election year. Conventional wisdom says not much will happen in the legislature because everyone wants to avoid sticky issues that might come up in a campaign. I got two questions for you. Number one, do you think that's actually true? And number two, what will you be watching for in 2018? Ken?
Oh, I think it's true. In an election year, particularly one where you have the governor's position up, the Senate's up, the House is up, that's going to drive legislative dynamics. Now, in terms of what to look for, I think this ongoing tension between the Republican governor and the Republican legislature is something to watch. We already talked about this conceal and carry issue. It surfaces here in ballast water regulations, difference of opinion. And that dynamic is something to continue to watch throughout the year.
Darcy, what are you going to be watching for from the legislature in 2018, or for that matter, any of the campaigns?
Well, I think I'll be watching for whether the disparate parts of the parties can find cohesion, unity, meaning in the, at least on the side of the Democrats, progressives, and sort of, I guess, I don't know, what do you call traditional Democrats these days, can come together. You've got all these super competitive fields for some high-profile seats, both at the state level and the congressional level. And so are they going to be able to come together, perhaps in the way that they did in, say, Alabama, and be able to find some success?
Now, I want to ask you about bipartisan relationships, because it's not as bad in Lansing as it is in Washington. There's been quite a number of bills passed this past year that were bipartisan supported. Are things different in Lansing, or are they trending the way Washington's been going?
At least from the folks I talk to in Lansing, the Democrats who are in the minority, I don't think they feel that there's that much bipartisan cooperation. They feel like they kind of get run over most of the time. I think there are some bigger issues that they'd love to tackle that can't get the light of day. So maybe I'm hearing different things than you are, but it would be great if we had more of that. But I don't see enough of that in Lansing, frankly.
Ken, what's your take?
Well, it's not as bad, Lester. I'll grant you that. But that Washington disease is an infectious disease, and it can infect Lansing just as well. And so you got to be somewhat wary of that.
Ken Sikkema, a senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. Darcy McConnell is president and CEO of McConnell Communications, which frequently works for Democratic candidates and causes. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.